morning, our scripture reading will be taken from 1 Peter chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 1 and concluding at verse number 13. In verse number 1, the Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
This letter that Andy read for us is one that is tremendously encouraging, one that reminds us of the blessings that we have as Christian pilgrims here upon this earth. Our election, our sanctification, our sprinkling, our inheritance, and the list goes on and on. We're kept by the power of God into salvation, the joy that's there, the honor of being served by the prophets and the apostles, and the tremendous blessings that we have. But you know something? It's so easy to focus back down here on the earth, focus on our problems, to focus on our interpersonal problems, interfamily problems, focus on our health, focus on our jobs, focus on the cloudy future that's out in front of our country right now, focus on world and all of the trouble spots that there are. So easy to let all of that just kind of overwhelm to where we don't forget about all those blessings, but they're not right in the front of our minds. That's not what we're focusing on. We're focusing on life. We're focusing on day-to-day things. Well, this letter has so many exhortations in it, so many things that are encouraging us. Not only does he tell us what those blessings are, but then he tells us in verse 13 that we're to gird up the loins of our mind and to be sober and to hope to the end. That hope to the end is an expression that has... Well, the New American Standard, the one that Clark uses all the time, it says, fix your hope on the end. Some translations say, focus your hope on the end. And that's what I'd like to talk about today, fortifying that focus. Because it's so easy to get out of focus. It's so difficult when we have tremendous weights and problems and responsibilities and obligations upon us, to say, yes, they're there, yes, I have to handle them, yes, I have to go through them, but my focus is on heaven. My focus is on Jesus. My focus is on the inheritance that's there. And that's what that passage is telling us, that we're to hope to the end. That's the primary focus of that verse. Now, it talks about girding up the loins of our mind and being sober, and I'll talk about those in a minute. But those are secondary participles, if you want the grammatical explanation of it. The focus is, we're to focus our hope. We're to think about it. We're to rest our hope fully on this tremendous blessings that we've been told about. Set your hope perfectly, unchangeably, without doubt, without despondency. Make our hope complete, if you will. Strong and not wavering. What do you think about? This is one of my favorite times of the year. All the bowl football games and the playoffs for the NFL and all of this going on. And they were interviewing quarterback for Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. And they asked him, you know, how do you feel going into the playoffs? He said, well, I feel like I've earned my money in the season. But this is what I do for me, playing in the playoffs. He said, I've been focusing on that all year long. I wanted that. That's why I put in all the extra hours watching film. That's why I put in the extra hours practicing. That's why I stood in the pocket and took the hits that I did, because I was focused on the playoffs and what was going to happen. It was worth it. Then he grinned real big and he said, well, I spent a few hours in the hot tub, a few hours getting massaged and fixed back up again, but it was worth it. Because that's what I was focused on. Not game by game by game by game, but I was focused on the end. And I thought, oh, if we as Christians could just do that. Do you know this passage is telling us that we have a duty, a responsibility to develop and to fortify that hope? God just doesn't say, you know, here's hope. And he says, you need to hope to the end. You need to focus on that hope. If you're going to have the joyous, happy, victorious life that God wants you to have. Jesus said he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. But we have to do some things. And one of the things we have to do is to fortify and develop our hope. Think about it. Meditate upon it. To develop it. Just like we need to develop patience and self-control. For without a hope, we're not going to be strong. Without hope, our faith is going to waver. Without hope, we're susceptible to doubt and fear and even depression, discouragement. Folks, we need to know, we need to understand that the cultivation, the fortification of our hope is essential to living a joyful and victorious life. As Christians. Now, what is our hope? What are we supposed to be focusing on? Well, let's look at verse 13. What does it say? Hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're to hope for that unmerited favor that's going to happen when Jesus comes again. Are you ready for that? Are you looking for that? That second coming? I mean, that's what he's been talking about in those 12 verses. That's why I had Andy go back and read all 13 verses, because this is the culmination of it. Look what it says in verse 13. Wherefore? Some translations say therefore. In other words, I've told you all that so that I can tell you this. I've given you all of this information so that we can now draw a conclusion from it. You focus your hope. There's an inheritance that's reserved in heaven. There's salvation that's going to be revealed at the last time. There's praise and honor and glory we'll receive at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the end of your faith. And that's the salvation of your soul. In view of all those verses, the focus of our hope is to be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful grace that He'll bring to us. We need to be hoping for that. The praise and the honor and the glory that we'll receive when He comes. How wonderful it is to think Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to take away all of these problems that so overwhelm us. Oh, come Jesus, the complete and final salvation of our souls will happen when Jesus comes. And that wonderful inheritance, that heavenly city that's incorruptible and undefiled, doesn't fade away. That place called heaven, that's ours. All right, Don, you convinced me. I ought to be hoping for it. How do I do that? How can I pull my mind away from all these problems I've got in the world and focus them on Jesus and His coming? How can I do that? Well, He tells us right here in this passage, verse 13. Let's go back and look at it again. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's an oriental expression. It has to do with the idea of the long robes that they wore. They would take and gather up that material from between their legs and make themselves trousers, is what it would amount to. They'd pull it up and tuck it into their belt. They would gird up. And they were to gird up the loins of their mind. That's a metaphor. And what Peter is saying is we have to put out of our mind all of the things that impede the wonderful free action of the mind in developing our hope. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. Prepare ourselves to run. Prepare ourselves to work. Prepare ourselves to fight. We need to remove anything. Remove everything that's not conducive to having a strong hope in the coming of our Lord. We need to know and understand that it's there for us if we'll simply use it. How wonderful it is, though, to have that blessing of using our minds. We have to put out of our mind all the possessions and all of the carousing and all of the wonderful things that we see in this world and focus on God. Look in Luke, the 21st chapter, if you will. And I'm going to verse 34. He says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day will come upon you unawares. Luke 21:34. Verse 35 says, it's a snare which will come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Oh, I wouldn't get out and carouse, Don. Of course not. I'm not some drunkard. But you know what he takes a party animal and a drunkard, and you know what he puts right in there with them? God says, in my mind, somebody who's worried about the cares of this life is no different. No different. That's what he said here. Your hearts will be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life. We need to put them out of our mind. In the 8th chapter of Luke, we're told that there's a wonderful blessing for us if we're willing to do what he tells us to do. He's telling the parable of the seed, the parable of the sower. And when he gets to verse 14, he said, that which fell among the thorns, now that's they which hear and receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while they believe, in the time of temptation they fell away. That which fell among the thorns are they which where they have heard and go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, having no fruit to perfection. Focus your faith. Don't focus on this life. Don't focus on the cares of this life, whether they be cares of joy or whether cares of problems. He says, when they fall among that, you're not going to produce any fruit. You're not going to receive that inheritance. It chokes us. It hinders our ability to be a Christian. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility, a duty to develop our hope. And the first thing that requires is for us to gird up the loins of our mind. God's not going to lift up your scalp and pour it in and put your scalp back down and say, there you are, you got hope. God actually expects us to control our own minds. Control our own minds. He says, you gird up the loins of your mind. You got problems? Sure. Can you focus on those problems, or do you focus on the second coming of Jesus Christ and all the blessing that that will be? If you're focusing on this world, then you need to gird up the loins of your mind. You need to control your mind. That doesn't mean those thoughts won't come back in. That means you need to throw them out. Say, I'm not going to sit and focus on this. God wants me to focus on the second coming of Jesus Christ. He wants me to focus on heaven. He wants me to focus on salvation. He wants me to focus on the hope that will be mine when Jesus comes back again. But going back to 1 Peter again, verse 13, he says, not only gird up the loins of your mind, but be sober. The word sober there means calm and collected in your spirit. We cannot be in that state where we're always up in the air, always ready to boom and fly off the handle. We've got to be calm. We've got to be sober. We've got to be able to see things without the distortion of worry and fear. I mean, you think about it. The word, it's the same word that's used for to don't be intoxicated. In other words, don't allow the alcohol that goes into your body or whatever drug it is, which gives you a distorted perception of life, a distorted view. Don't allow fear and don't allow worry to do the same thing. You need to be sober. If we're going to have a focus to our faith, it requires a calm, serious attention to doing the things that God would have us to do. Luke 21, Verse 36 says, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things which will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Calm and serious attention to the task at hand. Be sober. We cannot cultivate a strong hope if we allow ourselves to be so weak to be diverted away by the things that surround us. Whether it's a health problem, a financial problem, an interpersonal problem, an intrapersonal problem. We've got to focus on our true calling. And what is that true calling? And that's to travel this life as a pilgrim with a hope that's resting upon the grace that we'll receive when Christ comes again. Hope. I think the problem is not that we don't have hope, but our hope is weak. Our hope is shallow. That's because we're so preoccupied with the affairs of this temporary life. And it's going to be over soon. Just a few short years. And this life is over. And then we have eternity. To remain faithful to the Lord, we need to heed Peter's exhortation to fortify the focus of our hope by freeing our mind of those things that hinder us. We need to fortify the focus of our hope by being more serious about the kind of life that we live that the Heavenly Father wants us to have. We need to know and we need to understand that God wants us to have heaven. He sent His Son to die that we might have heaven. But He's not going to force us to go to heaven. He gives us that opportunity. He stands at the door and beckons. Are you living how He would have you to live so that He can bless you? So that He can give you the heaven? In our next lesson, we're going to elaborate more on how God would have us to live. The question I want us to think about today, are you living for God at all? Are you really resting in the hope that's there for you? Are you depending upon that or are you depending upon yourself? Because if you're depending upon yourself, you're going to fail. Guarantee it. God's told us it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. The only hope we have is to depend upon Jesus. And he says the only hope we have when we depend on him is to focus our hope on him. Let that be the motivation, the strength that we can have through Him. When you look at yourself and you think about this past month, have you been focusing on God? Have you been focusing upon Jesus coming again? Is that giving you the strength to get through the day, or have you just, I'm going to do it and got my hair cut yesterday. I asked the lady if she had a nice holiday season. She said, I got through it. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. She said, no, I survived. It's okay. almost broke up crying. I mean, you think about that. Going through life, I survived, and that's all I'm hoping for. If I survive, I'm happy. Jesus said, I want you to have an abundant life. He offers it to us. Are we willing to take it? Can we help? You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to walk according to His will? He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess His name and be buried with Him in baptism. And then rise up to walk that new life, that wonderful life, that Christian pilgrimage that Peter talks about. That allows us to focus on heaven and Jesus coming again. Do you need help? Won't you give us that opportunity? Won't you do it right now while we stand and while we sing?